Tech Talk time, Scott Shrieker, good morning.
Good morning. It is a good morning.
It's a lovely morning. There's something about this weather. Once, you know, after we've had a few months of the grey days, the cold days, the huddling in corners over heaters and fires, there's something about weather like this that makes me jump out of my skin.
Spring and autumn are my two favourite times. I like 20 degree days with blue skies and no wind. You know, that's just perfect.
Today.
Today is my favourite day.
Beautiful. Well, let's see if we can translate some of that well-being and happiness.
That's happiness.
Into solving problems that's for right. people and their computers.
Spread the happiness around.
That's right. Pay it forward. Just to some of the news that's happened this week, Scott, and there was a pretty funny story that came out after the Samsung Apple version.
Yeah. Well, basically, this news article said that Samsung paid their $1 billion fine by using 30 trucks to deliver a lot of 5-cent pieces.
I read this when it came out.
That was actually a typo because 30 trucks can't carry $1 billion worth of 5-cent pieces. You would actually need 2,755 trucks to do it.
Someone's actually done
Someone's done the math.
The maths, yeah. Right, okay.
So I'm not actually sure in United States currency if there is $1 billion worth of 5-cent pieces in circulation.
So this came out as a news story. It was a rumour that ended up getting a life of its own, and I know it was reported on some news sites that the billion-dollar fine, they'd actually sent it along in coins. But, of course, it was a hoax, and by the time it got to me, I was reading the story of the hoax that was being reported. But it's amazing, isn't it, that news outlets will take these things as gospel after a big verdict like that.
You get
that.
Something on the wire and all of a sudden it becomes news, even if it isn't. But, yeah, funny story. The reality is that Samsung don't even have to pay this fine until sometime next year at the earliest. And then it depends on how the Court of Appeals views it as well. So it's sometime off in the future before the money changes hands.
It does. It's a funny image, though.
You can see a mountain of 5-cent pieces being dumped into the Apple car park. It would be very funny.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they wanted to do it.
Even if they did it symbolically with one truck.
Well, possibly. And it's interesting to note, though, that there's somebody who's obviously debunked this hoax, and they've said that there is no federal statute mandating that a private business, person or organisation must accept currency or coins as payment for goods and or services. So they don't have to have the coins.
That's right.
Even if they wanted to.
So if Samsung did it, there'll be free coins for everyone.
Well, there you go. Well, we've debunked that myth.
There we go.
If you saw that on the internet.
Now, we can use that as a segue into the next bit.
How do we do that?
Well, Apple have called together a press conference for tomorrow and the 12th. So they don't say what the announcement's about. They just said, we're going to have an announcement. Now, the safe money bet, if you're going to put money onto anything, is that it's about the iPhone 5. So if you've been hanging out for a new iPhone, tomorrow is the day that they announce it. And then generally a few weeks after the announcement, they'll have the actual release date. So we're still looking at October for a release date.
Am I the only one who feels like that it's not really news anymore to get a release of a new iPhone?
The last release they had was the iPhone 4S, and that was a real disappointment because it was exactly the same as the iPhone 4. From the rumours that have been coming out on this one, we're looking at, and this might be an opportunity for Samsung to sue Apple, we're actually looking at a device that's much similar to the Samsung phones, which are much bigger screens. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out. So
your money's on?
iPhone 5.
Righto.
A bigger, slimmer device than the current iPhone 4s.
They're just going to become slivers of paper at some point.
Yeah, well, they'll start using the flexible OLED screens, and then you can just roll it up and stick it in your pocket probably.
Really?
You have to improve the battery technology to actually be foldable, but yeah.
But then how do you actually hold on to it if you roll it up? I mean, there's nothing to hang on to.
Well, I don't know. I saw a little article on one of the morning TV shows about the new Google Glass. And I think we talked about this 6 months ago when it was still a prototype, but they're wearing it at a fashion show in New York. And that looks really cool. And that's going to take over phones. I think you just wear your glasses and it'll have a video camera built into it and the information will actually flash up onto a a look-through display.
So it'll be really cool to be a Four Eyes like you and me.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be ready to go.
That's it. That's it. Well, that's good. The nerds are taking over the earth, really.
That's right.
We've been sort of talking on and off about Windows 8,
mm-hmm.
and there is a bit of a push for some people to move on to Windows 8 if they're on other operating systems.
Well, look, there's a push from Microsoft to get people off older operating systems. So, you know, some people are still running Windows 98 and Windows 2000, but certainly Windows XP and Windows Vista, Microsoft would like to see decline. And what's interesting is Windows XP has still got 55% of the Windows PC market.
That was so heavily marketed when it came out.
Look, it's still a really good operating system. It has got security flaws and it's got performance issues, but it still works really, really well.
Is it still the case that the better our computers get, the more powerful our computers get, the more powerful the operating systems become and the more you need to be able to run them?
To a certain extent, although if you believe Microsoft's marketing, it runs faster on the same hardware than Windows 7 does. Mm. So Windows 8 runs faster than Windows 7.
Because for the longest time, it was
a bit of a flop when they came out with Vista and you needed a supercomputer to even get it to run at a normal speed. Windows 7 was fantastic in comparison. It ran really, really well. And maybe on the same hardware, maybe slightly slower than Windows XP, but very marginally, and the benefits that you got from it were certainly there. So with Windows 8, there's a lot of negative press about it, and there's a lot of things that people don't like, and they've made a huge number of changes in the way that people actually interact with the operating system. So it's going to be a tough sell, I think, to get people to go to it. As part of their sell, though, they're selling it until January next year for $40. So if you're thinking about getting Windows 8, even if you're not sure if you want to stick it on straight away, the big point is to go out and buy it in the next 5 months or so and put it in the drawer. Even if you don't install it, you've bought it and you've only paid $40.
Can everybody get it for $40?
Everyone gets it for $40. Most people have already got an old Windows XP machine sitting in the cupboard. Mm. So all you need is the upgrade version of Windows 8, $40, and stick it in your drawer. And then when you go to upgrade, you just use your old Windows XP product key to do the upgrade.
This is quite the departure for
it's a
Microsoft,
massive change,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's, and look, the reason they're doing it is there's that huge base of Windows XP machines that are out there, and they're dropping all support for Windows XP in 2014. So they want to get people weaned off it as quickly as possible. So they're going for that push. If you're thinking about doing it, don't install it straight away. Go into a department store, have a look at a Windows 8 machine.
Do it for you.
And, and just have a look and see if you can actually hack it. I'm not sure.
Not as in hacking into it, but
actually cope with using it. Okay. There's a lot of changes there, and a lot of stuff that you're used to has to be relearned. So it'll be very interesting to see how people actually. I'm not looking forward to it because I can see a lot of support time going into getting people just
What's
doing
so
the basics again. Well, no start button for starters. For 17 years, people have been used to clicking on start and then going to all programs and then finding the program they want to run and running it. That's gone. It doesn't exist. And in the original beta releases of Windows 8, some creative people created a hack to put the start button back in again. Microsoft have removed the ability for those hacks to actually work. So no start button, full stop. At all. So it's going to be a bit of a drama to get used to.
So we'll all have to relearn how to use the software.
The idea behind it is it's aimed at tablet users and at smartphones. And it's had really good reviews when the reviewers have been using it on a tablet or on a smartphone. Every review where they've been forced to use it just on a desktop without a touch screen have been less than glowing. So it'll be interesting to see how we cope or what mods come out for it down the track that allow you to put smart start buttons and things like that back in.
So they're pushing it by saying there's a few reasons that you should consider doing it. Mm. One of them, of course, is the price.
The price.
The
other one, and this is really where it starts to get quite interesting in terms of melding it with the smartphone and tablet devices, is that you can sync, if you use a Microsoft account to log in, and you don't actually have to use a Microsoft email address. You can create it with other email addresses. But if you log into your computer using a Microsoft account, all of your settings and your apps and your preferences are saved into the cloud. And then when you use another device running Windows 8 with the same account, it then downloads and installs all of your settings, preferences and apps onto that other device. So if you've got a PC and a tablet and a phone, you set up your preferences on one of them and all of those preferences are then automatically synced.
So it's a little bit like, say, having a Google homepage or something like that where you actually sign in and then you can take that with you to the next computer.
That's right, yep.
But much bigger.
And it's on a bigger scale. And, like, you can do the same thing with Firefox. If you use that as your web browser, there's the ability to save all of your bookmarks and all of your settings in Firefox onto any other Firefox web browser that you have on any other device, which is really useful because if you've got a big collection of bookmarks, all you have to do is set up the sync process. Every time you add a new bookmark, it automatically jumps onto all your other devices and things like that. So that idea has been transferred to the operating system
itself. So if you change over your computer, you know, if something gets wiped, it's still actually out there in the cloud.
It's out there and you can resync it all again. That's right.
John's called in from Yandoit about Windows 8. John, good morning.
Good morning. My question, Scott, is as someone who has very, very little knowledge of Windows 7, am I likely to be able to come to grips with Windows 8 more readily than someone who's been on it for years?
Are you comfortable with Windows XP?
I've got Windows 7, but I've had almost no use from it because we've had internet connection problems. You know, I'm looking at possibly getting a tablet in the future, and someone has advised me, well, you can still get them with Windows 7. You better stay with Windows 7, but because I know so little, I'm so unfamiliar with the whole of Windows 7. I was just wondering, well, do I need to be concerned about that? Will I, as a novice, just drop into Windows 8?
That's certainly a possibility because you haven't got that previous history of being used to the way that Windows 7 works. There's very little learning curve between, say, Windows XP and Windows 7. A few things have changed in the look of it, but it still works pretty much the same way. I think if you're getting a tablet, my recommendation would be to actually go straight to Windows 8 because the operating system has been designed for tablets, whereas Windows 7 was always designed as a desktop and notebook operating system and not really designed for tablets with touch screens. So it's kind of been forced into that mode. In terms of a learning curve, what you might want to do, buy the Windows 8 upgrade for $40, stick it in your desk drawer. When you get your tablet with Windows 8 on it, if you really like it, stick it onto your Windows 7 machine and have them both the same. You're quite right. I think if you're jumping in with no previous experience, the learning curve's going to be about the same, I think, between both operating systems.
So good luck with that, John.
But unfortunately, I don't think there's any way to instantly learn how to do everything.
They haven't worked out how to just download it into our brains yet.
Well, that's what Google is good at. You just say, I want to do this. You type that in, what you want to do, into the Google search box, and I'm sure someone out there has asked exactly the same question and a whole lot of very nice people have put up good suggestions. So there's always ways to learn how to do new stuff.
Yeah, one brief question following on from what you've just told me. Are you saying that you can actually run Windows 7 on, in my case, a netbook, and Windows 8 at the same time on the tablet?
Well, if you have a tablet, you can have Windows 8, that's right. And then if you've got your computer, you can maintain running Windows 7 on that. The only issue is you're then learning to use two different operating systems. Now, previously in the past, that wasn't really an issue because Windows 2000, Windows XP, Windows Vista and Windows 7 were all very, very similar in design. Yep. They all work the same way. Windows 8 is going to be a complete departure from that. So you are actually learning two different operating systems.
Well, How does the interface work between your tablet and your PC?
Well, being two separate devices, there's no real similarity. But if you have Windows 8 on both, then the interface will look the same on both. The only issue you have on the PC is, unless it's you have a touch screen, all of the gestures that Windows 8's been designed for to work on a tablet are then not available on Windows 8. And that's been one of the big criticisms,
that the
interface that you have to use has been designed for people with fingers on the screen moving things around. And it hasn't translated very well to actually doing those gestures with a mouse.
Right.
So that's where it might start to get a bit difficult.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I have a problem using a mouse. I've got neurological problems with my hand. And I double-click spontaneously, which is infuriating.
Right, yeah. So maybe getting an iPad would be...
Well, one thing, what I would suggest with that particular issue is in the mouse settings in Windows, you can actually virtually disable double-click with the left mouse button. And what I generally do is if you've got a mouse with a wheel, so you've got a right button and a left button and in the centre there's a wheel,
yes,
I program that myself to act as a double click. So I press it once and it acts as a double click for me.
The wheel.
So the wheel becomes a click.
Oh.
So you press down on the wheel and you can program that to be your double click. So what you could do is program the left button to always do a single click, no matter how many times you press down on it, and you set up the wheel to do your double click for you.
Oh, and that's pretty straightforward to do if you go into
Control Panel, which is off the Start menu, and look for mouse or mice.
Yep.
Mouse, yeah.
John, we're going to have to
That's great.
Move on, but thank you very much.
I really appreciate it.
I hope that's helped. Nick's called in from Ballarat as well. Hello, Nick.
G'day, guys.
Windows 8.
Just a quick comment about Windows 8. Have they actually thought about trying to push us towards touchscreens with that? Have they thought about the effect that toddlers and 8 and 10-year-olds are going to have on a touchscreen?
Yep, Vegemite and jam over all my monitors. I'm just looking forward to it.
We just need to replace them more often.
The amount of foresight involved is mind-boggling.
Yeah, they can see the writing on the wall, though, that PC sales are declining, tablet sales are going through the roof, and they want a piece of that pie, basically.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Nick. I'll say go to Linux, guys.
Yeah.
You'll stick with Linux for a little while.
Look, it might be really good for Linux. Yeah.
I reckon it might.
Thanks, Nick. Bye-bye. And on the text, yes, the start button to turn off a PC. Now it's gone. You can switch to the normal desktop in 8 from the apps screen. That's from Paul in Maryborough.
Yes, but it doesn't multi-screen.
Right.
Which is one of the drawbacks.
Okay, we are just going to have to get used to it.
It's going to be
point,
a fight to get it to work the way you want.
Mm. All right. Well, look, that's pretty much all we've got time for today, Scott.